Culture.
Book Review. How to Hire a Spy. Less Bond, More Boffin. Puzzles, games and free thinking are key to code breaking. Counterintelligence by Robert Hannigan.
Geoffrey Tandy wasn't sure why he'd been summoned for war work in 1939. He was a botanist at the Natural History Museum in London and a friend of T.S. Eliot, a poet. Bletchley Park, Britain's code-breaking centre in the Second World War, had asked for an expert in cryptograms, encrypted text. Tandy was an expert in cryptogams, algae. Sometimes everything pivots on a consonant. That story may be apocryphal, an in-joke shared by the eccentrics who cracked German codes in the English countryside. But what is not disputed is that Tandy's botanical knowledge had cryptological benefits. His expertise on saltwater algae proved essential in salvaging German codebooks recovered from the sea. Tandy's role in wartime codebreaking exemplifies the themes of a new book by Robert Hannigan. He's a former director of GCHQ, Britain's Signals Intelligence Service, responsible for intercepting and deciphering messages, like its American peer, the National Security Agency. Diversity, Equity and Inclusion, DEI, has a bad name these days. The concept is associated with woke pseudoscience and corporate flimflam. But Mr. Hannigan's engaging book is a compelling corrective to that view. Tandy would probably not have made it through recruitment into a modern high-performing company, writes Mr. Hannigan, but sums up the amalgam of oddness, random skills and dedication that led to spectacular innovations and sustained success in the secret world of intelligence. Human intelligence agencies like MI6 and the CIA recruit and run human agents and thus rely on influence, persuasion and manipulation. Meanwhile, signals intelligence, or SIGINT agencies, focus on data and communication technology, cables in the 19th century, radio in the first part of the 20th, and now the internet. The aim is to understand those systems and to attack their weaknesses, as cryptanalysts say. To do that successfully requires people who think in different, original and unusual ways. Dilly Knox, a professional papyrologist, installed a bath in the Admiralty office during the First World War and allegedly cracked a German naval cipher during a soak, a process Mr. Hannigan connects to modern research on the neurological benefits of warm water. The point is not what you know, but how you think. After the war, Knox tackled Hungarian diplomatic codes without knowing a shred of Hungarian. GCHQ's entry exams have included texts in the fictitious Elvish languages spoken in J.R.R. Tolkien's Middle-earth. Diversity of thought is often rooted in other sorts of differences. Women excelled as cryptanalysts at Bletchley Park, despite making up only a small proportion of pre-war mathematicians. Jewish cryptanalysts played an important role in the Second World War. Mr. Hannigan also hints at the pivotal role of Afghan and Muslim staff in GCHQ's more recent history. Those with autism tend to have better visual perception, a fact which Israel's armed forces exploit to interpret fuzzy satellite images. Drawing on research into neurodiversity and autism spectrum disorders, GCHQ has actively sought to recruit this kind of diverse workforce, says Mr. Hannigan. Dyslexia, challenges in reading or writing, and dyscalculia, difficulty in understanding numbers, are prevalent at GCHQ. Mr. Hannigan guesses that one in four of the organisation's staff has some sort of neurodiverse condition. Such people wouldn't always prosper in traditional job interviews or flourish under the rigid hierarchy of the armed forces or the formality of the civil service. Ironically, whereas GCHQ's best-known figure, Alan Turing, was persecuted by the state for his homosexuality, despite his pivotal role in breaking the German Enigma Code, the agency later protected many gay people in its ranks, says Mr. Hannigan, and evaded some of the zealotry that blighted other parts of the Cold War civil service. More recently, GCHQ has begun training vetting officers in DEI in order to decrease the number of ethnic minority applicants who are refused security clearances, a common problem for people with familial connections to foreign countries. SIGINT agencies are not the only ones interested in diversity of all sorts. In recent years, MI6 has eased entry requirements so that candidates with dual nationality and one British parent can apply to become officers. Spy agencies increasingly recognise the importance of a diverse cadre of officers, not least because they must blend in and connect with agents in a variety of countries. Markus Wolf of the Stasi, East Germany's brutal spy agency, once described how West German spooks weeded out his agents by paying attention to their haircuts. East Germans had short hair at a time when long styles were popular in the West. Turning one into a convincing hippie was nearly impossible. Yet Western agencies have a checkered history. It used to be a running joke that CIA stood for Catholics in Action. It was homogenous and dogged by racist views. The agency's prestigious Near East Division, which ran Middle East operations, opposed Jewish case officers, in part because it believed they'd be loyal to Israel. Indeed, even as late as 2000, it was deemed newsworthy when the CIA hired an officer of Arab descent. At the time of the September 11th attacks in 2001, the FBI had just 8 Arabic-speaking agents, and only one in New York. Much has changed. The CIA now publishes a DEI strategy. In 2022, it promoted into its senior ranks the highest percentage of women and minorities in history. The relationship between free-thinking intelligence work and problem-solving more broadly is best illustrated by the wider pursuits of codebreakers. John Manley and Edith Rickert, American cryptanalysts in the First World War, went on to study statistical patterns in poetry. Elizabeth and William Friedman, towering figures in American cryptology, explored, and later debunked, the conspiracy theory that Francis Bacon had secretly written and hidden in ciphered text in the plays of Shakespeare. Joan Clarke, briefly Turing's fiancée, had a long career at GCHQ and became an expert on 15th century coins. The favoured television programme of staff at GCHQ is Only Connect, a British game show in which contestants must identify the cryptic link between 4 answers. Like code breaking, that requires lateral thinking, an open mind, and an ability to connect disparate types of knowledge. It's easy for po-faced culture warriors to dismiss this sort of thing as a distraction from the real work of national security and intelligence. But in fact, it cuts to the very heart of good spy work. Puzzles and plays do not constitute a world separate from serious work, concludes Mr. Hannigan. They form a continuum, and one enables the other.